we're diving into a new collection of veteran stories. Recollection Wisconsin has brought together stories of Wisconsinites fighting in and living through war. That means the Spanish Civil War of 1898, the war in Afghanistan today, and everything in between. What do you wonder about this project? You can call 800-642-1234. Are you a veteran? What story do you want to share? That's 800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to ideas@WPR.org. Our guests today include Emily Fotenhauer, who's a community liaison and service specialist for Wisconsin Library Services and the program manager for Recollection Wisconsin. Emily, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Brianna Fiant is the curator at the Bong Veterans Historical Center in Superior. Brianna, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Keely. Thank you.
Brianna, how does the Bong Center play a part in the Listening to War project?
Well, we were approached by Recollection Wisconsin and Emily back, I think, when they were doing an inventory of the holdings throughout the state. And we had a representative of their group come up to the museum and look through our collection and find out what sort of formats we had for oral histories, how outdated they were, how maybe they needed to be migrated to a new format. And then we just got on board through them that way.
Hmm. And Emily, this collection spans more than 100 years. Tell us more about the collection and how all of these Wisconsinite stories came together.
Sure. So as Brianna mentioned, we had we started with a planning process, kind of an inventory process. We had funding from the National Endowment for the Humanities, the NEH, where we were able to send around kind of a field worker. Her name's Dana Gerber Margie. And for a year in 2016 into 2017, she traveled around the state and talked to local public libraries and historical societies and museums, and basically checked out their oral history or audio collections. So lots of things on audio tape, VHS tape, reel to reel, all these formats that couldn't really be played back, to find content. And then we put together a plan and wrote a second grant to get the funding to digitize them, to get them all converted into digital form and describe them and then make them available online. And the scope was really broad. It was that whole span. We weren't expecting to find things as early as the Spanish-American War, but we did find a handful of things that went back to the 1890s, which was really exciting.
Okay, thank you for mentioning that, because that is a question. If we're looking back to the Spanish-American War of 1898, is there really audio from the 19th century?
No, so these were oral history interviews conducted in the early 1970s. Huh. So they were some of the earliest recordings we had, and they were interviews with men who had, you know, they were in their 90s at the time. So it was way back, much earlier than we thought. Yes, certainly not recordings from the time period.
But still really incredible that you know, almost 70 years later, from when they were very young, they were able to tell these stories and share them. Let's take a listen to some of the stories that Recollection Wisconsin has archived. Here's a woman named Margaret Erickson, and her dad was an air raid warden when she was in high school, and that was in Superior during World War II. Let's hear her talk about that.
There were blackouts because at the time we had very active shipyards and factories and things that they felt that Duluth Superior would be a target area. And so they'd send air raid wardens out, and they had blackout curtains. They would buy these black curtains and you had to fasten them at the bottom. And if you could see light, my father would go to knock at the door and say, "I see light through your curtain." And he had just this little blue light that he'd shine on the ground so he could see where he walked.
I mean, we tend to think of blackouts during World War II as happening in European cities that were vulnerable to bombing. But, Brianna, they also happened in the U.S., including here in Wisconsin. Tell us more about that.
Well, Superior played a big role in the shipbuilding industry during World War II. And so, as Margaret said, I think that they were concerned that the Twin Ports was could potentially be a target. So they certainly, you know, took precautions against that. I think here in Superior, between Superior and Duluth, we built almost 300 ships in the during World War II in the 4 years that we were in the war. So, I think that the shipbuilding is a really interesting part of the Twin Ports history.
And we heard Margaret there saying that there were air raid wardens out and the blackout curtains, and how her father had this little blue light to see where he walked because everything was supposed to be dark. What more should we know about Margaret and her story, Brianna?
She has a really interesting story, actually. So after high school, she went down to Camp McCoy and worked down there as a civilian typist and clerical person. And so during World War II, we brought many of the POW, German POWs and Japanese POWs back to the United States. And a lot of them were here in Wisconsin. And so she would register the POWs into Camp McCoy. And so she had a lot of contact with the POWs, and she had a lot of really interesting insights into that whole process.
We are talking about the stories of everyday Wisconsinites who lived through the biggest conflicts in history. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. A new oral history collection gathers veteran stories across generations. Our guests are Brianna Fiant, who's the curator at the Bong Veterans Historical Center in Superior. And we've also got Emily Fotenhauer here. She's the program manager for Recollection Wisconsin. And let's hear another story about living through World War II. Marguerite Pittenger took part in sending soldiers in Europe V-mail or victory mail. And here she is actually talking about that.
New York postal authorities say that you will send V-mail letters with lipstick kisses on them to soldiers overseas only if the kisses are properly implanted. They must be placed lightly in one corner and not overloaded with enough lipstick that might smear.
I have to say, it's just sweet that there's a very specific way that lipstick kisses were allowed on the V-mail letters, that they had to be lightly placed in one corner and not overloaded with lipstick. Emily, you can even hear her chuckling at the end.
Mm-hmm. This is a really fun interview, and this is part of a group of interviews that high school students in La Crosse conducted in around 1995. They're held at the UW La Crosse archives, but all of those interviews are, you can hear the voices and the laughing of the high schoolers who are interviewing too.
Oh, I bet.
It was a learning experience for them as well.
Brianna, what was V-mail or victory mail? How did Wisconsinites like Marguerite get involved?
So V-mail was a way that you would write your letter on a full-size sheet of paper, and then it would get condensed, like microfilm, it would get condensed down into a much smaller piece of mail that would take up much less space going overseas. So then when you get the V-mail on the other side, it actually can be really hard to read because the print is now so small. But it was just a way to consolidate and get more mail over in less amount of space.
Oh, how fascinating, and how neat to hear her talking about it, for sure. We're talking about a project from Recollection Wisconsin, and we're taking your calls, your family stories, or your stories about living through war at 800-642-1234. We have Linda in Milton ready to join the conversation. Welcome, Linda.
Thanks for taking my call.
What are you thinking about?
My mother-in-law and father-in-law survived World War II in Sicily. My mother-in-law was a teenager.
Oh, and Lynn. Oh, we may have lost you. Go ahead. I think we've got you back. I'd love to hear it.
She, as a young teenager, it was up to her to go to surrounding villages and to help identify family and friends that were killed in the war.
Linda, thank you so much for sharing that story. And Linda, you know, hearing these stories from family members, we just talked about some lighthearted ones, but there are also roles that people played that were really devastating, Emily.
Yes, for sure. And that's one of the things that is really important to think about kind of this collection as a whole is, like you said, we've highlighted some of the more lighthearted bits, but there's a lot of pretty intense stories here, both combat stories, prisoners of war. So it's definitely a lot of challenging content as well.
And Linda was talking about Sicily in World War II, though. And Brianna, the Bong Center in Superior focuses on veterans of World War II and the conflicts that followed. What do you see in those stories?
So we started collecting World War II stories, and it is very interesting to see just how different everybody's experiences are. The people who see combat, the people who stay at home. What I find really interesting, especially about World War II, is how much the home front got involved and behind the war. And as the caller was saying, even in Italy, you know, she was a civilian, but she was put to work. I mean, it really was not just the military. Everybody was involved in World War II.
We are talking about a project to preserve people's voices, people's histories when it comes to living through wartime. That's Brianna Fiant, who is the curator at the Bong Veterans Historical Center in Superior, also talking with Emily Fotenhauer, who's program manager for Recollection Wisconsin. Still time for your call at 800-642-1234. Let's move a few decades forward to the Vietnam War. Yang Kai Moa was one of the first Hmong refugees from that conflict to settle in Wisconsin. And here he is talking about why some Hmong chose to relocate from bigger Midwestern cities to Wisconsin.
They moved from the Twin City, from Chicago, and from many of the big cities from the south to Wisconsin. And they think that it's not so big, so they can get their way around. So they picked Eau Claire.
They picked Eau Claire. Emily, Young is originally from Laos. What's his story, how he became a refugee and then wound up in Wisconsin?
So this is part of the Hmong story of Hmong coming to Wisconsin is following the U.S. withdrawal from Vietnam, the end of the Vietnam War. The Hmong had supported the U.S. presence in Vietnam, and after the war, they were essentially sort of run out of their home country, and many escaped to refugee camps in Thailand, and then there were programs to resettle refugees in cities in the Midwest and around the country, really. There's several cities in Wisconsin that have, the population the migration kind of built up over time, and Eau Claire, La Crosse, Wausau is another significant area, but really all over the state. And this interview comes from a great group of interviews done by the Chippewa Valley Museum in Eau Claire. They started working with the Hmong community in Eau Claire in the 1990s and have collected great information about their stories, both in Vietnam and Laos, and then their experiences after they came to Wisconsin.
Hmm. Yeah, more evidence of that collaboration. We've got Sandy in Sturgeon Bay on the phone now. Hey, Sandy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what is this conversation bringing up for you?
Well, my grandparents met during World War I. And my grandfather was wounded. The story is that his toes were blown off by a cannonball, and so he was shipped home, and she was an ambulance driver in the New York area. And so they met when she took him to the hospital, and her father would invite soldiers to Sunday dinner, so he got to be one of those. And thus the story began. They got married a few years later.
Oh, how fun. Sandy, thank you for sharing that story. Thank you, everyone who shared your stories. Brianna, what's it like to listen to people talk about living through these extraordinary times?
I feel very privileged that I have this job and that I do get to hear these stories. Everybody just amazes me with their insight into what they've gone through and their willingness to share, because a lot of the things that they're sharing are probably traumatic experiences, but you know, they want to share it with our staff and our volunteers here who are taking the oral histories, and they want to share it with, you know, future generations. And I find it very inspirational.
Mm. Brianna, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And Emily, we appreciate you talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Emily Fotenhauer is a community liaison and service specialist for Wisconsin Library Services and program manager for Recollection Wisconsin. And Brianna Fiant is the curator at the Bong Veterans Historical Center in Superior.